The BBC presents My Music, a radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Thank you. My Music here again, to the despair of musicologists, the contestants being, as ever, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden versus David Franklin and Frank Muir. Just to make a slight change from our usual what is it and who wrote it opening, in each of these first four musical examples, there's an instrument, gentlemen, that one doesn't usually hear in the orchestra. For one mark, not what is it, but simply, how is it played? Ian. Ian, the unconventional instrument in that orchestra, how is it played?
There's a sort of little tinkle going on somewhere in the...
that's the one.
To coin a phrase, a musical phrase. Something that you hit, I would say.
Yes, well, that's the answer. Was it a brass instrument, a wind instrument, a string instrument?
No, I don't think it was. I think it was hitting the strings,
yes,
or something.
Yes, that's right. The strings are struck with wire beaters on the cymbalum or cymbalum.
Yes.
There's a reference in Pepys' diary, which is quite interesting, when he said, here among the fiddlers, I first saw a dulcimer played on, with sticks knocking the strings, and is very pretty. Indeed is very pretty.
Mm.
You got two marks. Dennis, the main rhythm instrument here, how is it played?
Is that the thing that it's an Edmundo Ross type,
yes,
instrument, and it's like a corn on the cob sort of thing, and the chap,
yeah, that's right,
sort,
yeah,
of scrapes up and down it all night.
Yes,
he just stands
it's
there.
It's called the güiro. How is it played?
Well, it's played by brushing,
yes, right,
up and down it with a, I don't know, like a nail brush or something. Well, you can produce
it scraped with a stick or wooden brush. Yes, it's the güiro. Too much to you. David, the unexpected percussion instrument here, how is it played?
It's the Ravel Piano Concerto,
yes,
the one for two hands.
Yes.
But this instrument is played two slats of wood joined by a leather thing, and it just goes whop.
Exactly. It's the sort of thing Comedian 1 used to do over the head of Comedian 2 when I was a little boy. It's called the slapstick, and you're right, two slats of wood.
It's that sort of terrible
together
thing that probably comes once in the evening, and if it's a very big orchestra, they engage a man to come up just to do that, and he gets all ready, and he gets this thing out, and gets all ready, and he starts counting his bars, and then his attention gets distracted, and the moment passes, and he just has to put it away in a case and go home.
Foiled again, yes. Frank, precisely how is the unusual instrument here played?
It's played with a bow and a prayer. It's a saw.
Yes.
And the gentleman puts the handle bit between his knees and then bends between finger and thumb, rather elegantly, the top bit, and bends it normally into a kind of S shape.
Right.
And then strikes the, touches the edge with the bow, a heavily rosined bow, and this noise emerges. And by applying pressure, he varies the noise.
Right.
Very dangerous instrument.
On the musical saw, two marks. This next round concerns a lady, an imaginary, purely fictitious violinist. A lady violinist named Constance Sordini, known to her friends as Con Sordini. She plays the second violin in the London Ammonia Orchestra, and that fact, Ian, gives rise to your question. How can you tell by looking at the instrument whether it's a first violin or a second violin?
I don't think you can.
You're quite right, you cannot tell. There is no difference in the instruments, only in the parts which are played upon them.
That's it, yes.
No difference. But people have been known to walk into a shop and ask for a second violin under the impression that it costs less.
You've got it for the wife. You have a two-violin family. Yeah. Violin in every garage.
You've got two marks there. Dennis, our lady violinist sometimes amuses herself by trying to play jazz on her violin. She calls it, in her jolly way, doing a Stefan, doing a Joe, or occasionally, doing my stuff. What does she mean by those three words in that context? Stefan, Joe, and stuff.
Stefan Grappelli.
Yes.
Joe Venuti. Joe Venuti and Eddie Lang.
Yes. And the third and great jazz violinist.
Stuff Smith.
That's right, yes, and you've got two marks for that. David, I mentioned that this imaginary lady is called Con Sordini, which means, as you know, with the mute. What does a violin mute look like?
Like the letter M.
It does, you know. That's a very interesting point.
Either like the letter M or the letter W, but if you think it looks like the letter W, you've got it the wrong way up.
It occurred to me you might say it looks like a viola mute, only smaller, but you had a better answer than that. It's like a sort of three-pronged fork. It is, in fact, just like a letter M. All right. You've got two marks. Frank, this lady violinist of ours, does her G-string have a tessitura?
Yes, because tessitura means in a singer, means the range in which they can sort of happily sing.
Yes.
Doesn't it? So presumably a G-string has a range in which you can happily play.
The lowest string of the violin, yes. And you get your marks as well. Here are four well-known performers who've had a little bit too much to drink. See if you can identify them. Ian Wallace.
I'm drunk.
That can only be splendidly bibulous tones of Owen Branigan.
Yes, that's right. You get the mark. Do you know what it comes from?
Is it Percival?
Yes, Percival.
The Fairy Queen.
That's right. He's the drunken poet in The Fairy Queen. It was the voice of Owen Branigan that gets you a mark. Dennis, here's somebody a bit inebriated.
Hey, say, that sounds like a bum notch you was playing there, Sean.
Don't tell me what I'm playing a bum notch on. I won't take that talk from anyone yet.
God tell me to think about you, stupid idiot. I won't take that talk from nobody. Take that, just wait.
And so on. It's lovely, Dennis, isn't it?
Yeah,
lovely record.
Well, we, Frank and I, contributed quite a bit to this particular LP, actually. That's Peter Sellers. It sounds rather like these kind of inside stories of the opera that we hear from David and Ian everywhere.
Do you remember the name of the record?
It was called something about a spot of bother.
A drop of the heart.
A drop of the heart.
A drop of the heart. Peter Sellers it was. Yeah. David Franklin, who's drunk here?
The two bibulous gentlemen are Pedrillo, the tenor, and Osmin, the bass. In the pre-war production at Glyndebourne, it was a very uncomfortable pair of parts to play because they did it sitting on the wall in front of a fountain, which had real water. No expense was spared at Glyndebourne. And at the end of it, they overbalanced and fell in. Absolutely soaked to the skin. It must have been hell.
Yes. You didn't name the opera, just in case.
Oh, it's the one that you insist upon calling Entführung and that I call Seraglio.
there's a switch. Or vice versa, if you prefer, yes. I think we better agree. The singer there was Kurt Böhm. Frank Muir, somebody else drunk. See if you can name him.
I like a man, a jolly man, the sort of man you know. The chap that slaps your back and says, man, jump before we go.
The wizard.
It always seemed to me a desperately unfunny man. There goes our Scottish repeat.
I can't let that pass. No,
he was funny, was he? Ian?
Very. I'm sure he was funny because my grandfather, who was a very funny man, knew him well and said he was very funny.
You've got a mark.
Harry Lord.
Yes. Oh, you forgot to mention. Yes, Harry. Press on. In this next round, simple question, who's the odd man out? Or which is the intruder? Ian, which is the intruder out of these four? Fancy Free, West Side Story, Candide, Rodeo.
Fancy Free was a ballet, I think.
Mm. West Side Story?
West Side Story was a musical.
Candide?
Candide was another musical. Rodeo. And those were all by a chap called Leonard Bernstein, I seem to think. And Rodeo was my colleague here, my co-pilot, it's quite wide awake, is saying Aaron Copland.
Yes, Rodeo by Aaron Copland, the other three by Leonard Bernstein. Dennis, you're four, one intruder. Higher and Higher, By Jupiter, Allegro, No Strings.
Allegro, No Strings. Higher and Higher was Rodgers and Hart.
Mm-hmm.
By Jupiter was Rodgers and Hart.
Allegro
was Rodgers and Hammerstein.
No Strings.
And No Strings was Rodgers and
Honest Todd. That's right. Rodgers, Honest Todd is the answer. The others, he all had a collaborator for each of the others. Yes, you get a mark. David Franklin, for you, four ladies of quality. The Fairy Countess, the Yankee Princess, the Circus Princess, Countess Maritza. Who's the intruder?
The Fairy Countess, the Yankee Princess, the Circus Princess, Countess Maritza. Countess Maritza, I have heard of.
That's the odd one out.
And Yankee Princess, I've heard of. So it's now, it's an even bet between which of the Circus Princess and the Fairy Countess. The Fairy Countess doesn't sound a bit legit.
You got the answer, actually. Or you get half a mark out of one. The Fairy Countess I made up. It's purely imaginary. The other three... the other three have something in common, though. And do you know what it is?
Well, they're all musical comedies. Or operettas.
Yes, but by whom?
Oh, well, if you want blood.
Yes, must have blood. Must have blood.
Who were they by?
Ah. Emmerich Kallman.
Really? For another mark, tell me who Emmerich Kallman was.
I'll tell you. He was the composer of Countess Maritza, the Yankee Princess, and the Circus Princess.
Not the Fairy Countess.
No, not of the Fairy. I wrote that one. Frank.
Symphony.
An intruder from these four. The Arcadians, the Quaker Girl, the Rebel Maid, Good Morning Judge.
Well, The Arcadians is by Lionel Monckton. The Rebel Maid is by... what was the other two? In the middle?
The Arcadians, the Quaker Girl, the Rebel Maid, Good Morning Judge.
Well, I think there's...
Good Morning Judge. Morning... Judge, now, can vote it logically. Do you know the composer of either of those three?
Yes, I know the composer of the first one.
I told you the composer of the first one. I want to know the composer of the other three. Good Morning Judge is out. Good Morning Judge is spurious.
No, incorrect, I'm afraid.
Written by...
Mark. No. The spurious one, the intruder, rather, is The Rebel Maid by Montagu Phillips. The other three, including Good Morning Judge, all had music by Lionel Monckton.
Well, it sorted you out, didn't it?
We come now to a great big helping of nostalgia, if one can have nostalgia for days that were before one's time. These are reminders of the great vintage days of review in London. In some cases, the recording quality, I should warn you, is a little bit rough, but it's worth it, I think, in the interests of hearing. Well, Ian, we'll start with one for you. Ian, this is a record made in 1921 by one of the co-optimists.
When the sun goes down and stars keep the moon, when the sun goes down, I'm lonesome.
Question, Ian, can you name any one of the co-optimists?
Oh, yes, I can, because I was taken to see the co-optimists at Golders Green Hippodrome when I was a lad. Indeed, on my 8th birthday, we went, and my father sent round a request to Stanley Holloway.
If your father, just let me check up, he was the man, the son of the man who thought Harry Lauder was funny.
No. Very, very long memory you have, David. No, the man I was talking about in connection with Harry Lauder was my mother's.
Well, that's all right, then.
My father was also Scots and admired Harry Lauder greatly.
You,
yes,
Ian. We left you at the age of 8 at Golders Green.
Well, I've come back in.
You must be nearly
and
9
taken
by now.
My seat, and we were in the front row of the stalls. My father sent round a message to Stanley Holloway, which I think is good for a mark.
Yep,
to say, would he do Sam, pick up thy musket, which wasn't in the programme, and it was the first great moment I think when I was fired with imagination for the theatre, because Stanley Holloway, after the interval, came down to the front, and I was wearing the kilt of this, my 8th birthday, sitting in the front row.
Golders Green.
I'll get this out of it. Kilt on. And Stanley Holloway came on the stage and looked down at me and said, I'm going to do Sam, pick up thy musket for Wee McGregor on his birthday. And it was that being acknowledged from the stage as a small boy, I think, started me on the downward path. Yes. Stanley Holloway, Davy Burnaby, Phyllis Monkman, Melville yes. Gideon.
And Laddie Cliff was a member of the co-optimists as well. Never mark. Dennis, this comes from a 1923 show called London Calling. The singer's Maisie Gay.
Because
I'm pretty, oh. And because I have a dainty girl. Oh.
She pursues me and woos me and asks me to
die.
But
I've always been
fed by a quarter of time.
Question, Dennis, who wrote that song?
Edith Sitwell. I really don't know, Steve. I found it rather hard to distinguish. You know, we talk about not being able to listen to the words of modern songs.
Yes. They call me Yippie because I'm nippy and so on.
No, I don't.
I'm always in bed by 9:15. The song was written by Sir Noel Coward.
Oh.
When he was just plain Noel. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, you don't get the mark there.
Short of a penny. Yeah.
David, who's this singer?
Who's wonderful? Who's marvelous? Miss Annabelle Lee. Who's kissable? Who's lovable? Miss Annabelle Lee. Ain't she a pretty baby? What would you give? Escorting her, supporting her, don't forget that she's exclusive.
David.
I actually heard this man perform in the Alhambra. And although he was billed as the whispering baritone, indeed, whispered his way through songs, he projected his whispers so beautifully that right at the back of the gallery, which was all I could afford, I was a schoolboy.
Unlike Ian.
Unlike Ian, yes.
In the stalls at Bethnal Green.
And what is more,
in his kilt.
I was wearing long trousers.
But good for you, you
you could hear him absolutely every syllable.
You give him his name,
haven't you? Yes, I did. Jack Smith.
Whispering Jack Smith, yes. An American gentleman, came to London in 1928. Frank, stretching our musical connections just a little in the interests of interest, here's part of a comedy sketch.
I want 2 dozen damask dinner napkins.
Now, that was Dame Cicely Courtney, so long before she became a dame, in fact, in 1927. What was the last line, Frank, of that sketch?
Oh, this is this two dozen double dinner napkins. Mm-hmm. It was done countless times in films, wasn't it? Franklin Pangborn.
Yes.
I think B. Lilly.
B. Lilly did it.
Billy DeWolf did it.
Yes, that's right. Do you know the last line of the
sketch? Yes, it's got a pair of... Oh, don't bother. I'll have 2 dozen paper serviettes.
Nearly. Well, you've got the mark. Let's hear Cicely Courtney give the last line herself.
Oh, blast. Give me 24 serviettes.
Yeah. Give me 24 serviettes. That's right. For this final round, the answer you'll find lies in the words of a song. In fact, I'll be asking for a whole song, or most of a song, from Ian at the end. Meanwhile, Dennis, please give me the answer in your best singing voice. Who passed on while holding a blunt instrument?
Would you accept a bottle of rum?
Well, as a blunt instrument? I hadn't thought of that, but I'd, yes.
And when I die, don't bury me at all. Just pickle my bones in alcohol. Place a bottle of rum at my feet and head. And if I don't stir, then you'll know I'm dead.
Yeah, well, that's most ingenious and nothing like the song I had in mind. What I was thinking of was John Henry, who said he'd, the railroad man, who said he'd die with a hammer in his hand.
But I've got give the you... band parts for yeah. that, yeah.
happily accord you 2 marks. David, quote, how I'm hoping tonight you'll go to the right window. In order to do what, David?
Scatter your light.
Yes.
Isn't something about scatter your light, oh... Do say I'm right. Yes.
Can you sing it?
Cue music.
Yes.
Carolina moon, good, keep good. Shining. Shine. Don't laugh.
Very hurtful when you laugh.
Yes, indeed. I won't finish it now.
2 marks, David. Scatter your light. Say I'm all right. Please do. Tell her that I'm blue and lonely, dreamy Carolina moon. You've got enough to get your marks. Frank, where am I glad to be? Yes, sirree.
Glad to be. Yes, sirree. When the duck and I, photo meet. Basin Street.
Yes.
Moon. Never know how much it seems, just how much it really means.
Yes.
Photo be. Yes, sirree.
One mark for...
Name,
yes, one mark for well, words me. And the other for style. Well, welcome's free and dear
to
me.
Of it somehow.
Where I can lose my Basin Street blues. Frank gets two as well.
Yes, yeah. Basin Street. New Orleans.
Mm. That's cool. Ian, I can give you starlight, love, the ocean, and devotion. What else? Starlight, love, the ocean, devotion.
Mm. I wonder where to start this.
Start there if you've got the right song.
I can yes. give you the mountains, pools of shimmering blue, call and I shall be whom you ask of me. Music in spring, flowers for a king, all these I bring to you.
And that bit of Ian-esque novello brings us to the end of another My Music. A victory by half a mark for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were David Franklin, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, And the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Shryan. Thank you.